It's 5 o'clock in Pirate Country, and it's time to get pumped up with the P-Man. Hit the door and hit the road. 94.3 The Game is going to get you home, and the P-Man's not holding back.
Yes! Yes! Pirates win! Pirates win!
Bring on the Patrick Johnson Show on 94.3 The Game.
Holy mackerel! Oh, my goodness!
The flagship station of the ECU Pirates.
Okay, here we are, TGIF, we made it. It is graduation Friday in Greenville, America. Patrick Johnson with you here on the PJ Show, live from the Working Man's Beach today, and in color as we have another exciting episode leading you into ECU baseball tonight, where the Pirates will be hosting game one of their three-game conference series, the penultimate conference series of the year, as they will have the USF Bulls in town. 6:05 first pitch, 5:45 the airtime here on 94.3 The Game of the IBX Media app with Scotty Scooter Rogers and Dr. Coach Gary Overton. Coach O and Scooter will be on the call. All right, so great to have you along. Well, let's first say hello to Dom Kosalki. Dom is our producer here today.
I think we're going to lose.
What's up, Dom?
How are you, Dom? We got through the week.
It's finally
just
almost
one more
show. But you know, I have baseball coming up, so I'm the producer for baseball this weekend.
I mean, this show.
Oh yeah,
I mean,
this show. Yeah, this is the hardest
you
show
got
ever.
Through
so
it
I
this
really,
week.
Well, we'll see.
You did really well, Dom.
Have another 40 minutes.
Duty? Well, that's true. You could still screw things up.
But I think we're gonna win, Dom.
I enjoyed
this week. It's been a fun time.
Closers get coffee, Dom. Just think, and you may need it tonight.
I'm gonna need it for sure.
Actually, I think you'll be okay tonight with your Savage going, but I think the rest of the weekend you may want to.
I think Philip will be back Sunday, and I'm training Isaac today, so hopefully he'll be ready tomorrow. Okay. Maybe I'll get a couple days off.
Well, maybe.
That'd be something new.
It would be something new, would it not? This is the information that Cliff Godwin had in regards to Jake Hunter.
Unfortunately, Jake, he won't pitch anymore this year, so he's going to be reevaluated. But he will not pitch anymore this year.
And that is what we all kind of suspected. No real surprise there. As for the status of Zach Root, who's the Saturday starter, and Wyatt Lunsford-Shinkman, who leads college baseball in ERA.
Shink and Root are getting better. Not sure if they'll be available this weekend, but they'll definitely be pitching again at some point in time this season.
So that is where they are, and we will see how all of this plays out. That's what I mean. I think tomorrow it's going to be, I don't know if it's Johnny Holstaff, but it's obviously going to have to be pieced together. And Sunday could get a little wild, so we'll see. We've got ECU softball also coming up tonight. The Pirates will be hosting UAB. That'll be streamed on ecupirates.com, and then the rest of the weekend, full productions for ESPN+. I'll be working with Brittany Hoyt tomorrow at 2, and that be working with Courtney Layton Sunday at noon for the ESPN+ broadcast. Hope you'll join us for those, as it's the final weekend of the softball regular season. For college softball, the conference tournaments are next week. Pirates trying to improve their seed. They could get as high as a number 4 seed. We will see. Handful of ECU softball players got their degrees today. Some baseball players also got their degrees today. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. In fact, 10 football players, 14 lacrosse players, a couple basketball players, both Ben Biala and Cam Hayes. One golfer for the Pirates, handful of softball, as we mentioned, 23 in track and field and cross country, a couple in volleyball. And then you got women's basketball with 3, women's golf with 1, women's soccer with 5, women's swimming and diving with 4, women's tennis with 1 as well. And that tennis major had a double major. How about that? So that is the rundown there. Our guy Joe Sampson is graduating with his MBA today, completing that. How about that? Dom, our guy Joey Football.
I'm proud of him. He's doing the same
utter brilliance.
The same master's program I'm going to be doing.
Oh, are you calling your shot?
I'm calling my shot. I'm going to graduate with it too, but I'm very proud of him, and I'm hoping that I can get through it as well.
All right. Well, you can always have Joey Football guide you along, you know.
Yeah, I'll definitely be asking him some questions.
Joe and his lady friend, as us old folks say. also graduating. I think she's doing I don't know if it's elementary education, easy for me to say, or education, but good for her. I think she's already got a job lined up, is what Joe's telling me. So, no, it's really good.
Good for them. Workout. I'm happy.
And I hope we'll have, yeah, I am too. I love Joe. And hopefully have Joe back with some of our pregame ECU coverage and football coverage this upcoming season. Hopefully we'll have that as well. All right, out at East Carolina Weight Loss last night. Really good stuff there as we had an open house. Brad Durrett, lead sales weasel, actually my favorite sales weasel, was there. And Brad was the gentleman about the room. We had some folks from the community come in. I told him my story on weight loss, which is approximately 50 pounds since the week before Christmas. And more to go over the summer. And it was a really nice presentation. The people there are great. So we'll give you an update on that next week when I go in. I'm going to get the weigh-in before my birthday. So that's the key, getting the weigh-in before my birthday. Because, you know, birthday comes, all bets are off, right? It's got to be.
Yeah.
Don't forget, Mike Houston will be with us on Monday. We're going to talk with Coach Houston in the studio, plus Cliff Godwin on Monday. After the baseball series, John Gilbert will be our guest on Tuesday. John Gilbert will join us for a special edition of the PJ Show leading into ECU and Duke that night. And I know the following week we're going to have Parker Bird on. I think that will air. He'll be in the studio, and I think that will air the show before the Campbell baseball game. So we're planning that out, talking to some of the key figures in Pirate Athletics as we get ready to wrap up the sports year and certainly wrapping up the academic year today. There's one other thing here that I wanted to make mention of. I thought this was interesting. Your Carolina Hurricanes, and for the time being my Carolina Hurricanes, they're restricting ticket sales for their games against the Rangers to people from North Carolina, South Carolina, and certain parts of the Commonwealth of Virginia. And the reason being is because they're worried that obnoxious Rangers fans are going to come in and snap up the tickets. Because that's happened before. If you've ever been to a game there and they're playing the Rangers, for example, Pittsburgh, Boston, I know, has had fans kind of overwhelm things at times. So if you play a certain team in that venue, as great a venue as it is, and as much as it has had the Hurricanes take root, it's something that out-of-towners can buy tickets for and make a lot of noise, get a little obnoxious. So that's the reason for the restriction. I just found that interesting. They must feel really strongly about the fact that that geographic area will obviously yield enough tickets for a sellout. But I have a feeling some really crafty and resourceful Rangers fans will find their way in. Okay, it's the Patrick Johnson Show, the Get You to the Weekend edition, Pirate Baseball coming up tonight. We're going to be joined by our old friend Chris Hughes coming up, CarolinaPreps.com. He's revamping that website, and we're going to talk the Big 32 and some goings-on with the NCHSAA. And also Shane Winkler, ECU softball coach, still to come this hour. So stick and stay. Chris Hughes, a triumphant return to the PJ Show when we come back.
Have you noticed he's in his own little happy hour? We're back to the Patrick Johnson Show on 94.3 The Game.
This is the happy hour program.
Here's the P-Man.
Chris Hughes is the founder of CarolinaPreps.com. He's the guru. And he has made his triumphant return to the Patrick Johnson Show on this Friday. Always great to see you, my friend. That K-Town is not Kinston. No.
Yeah, no.
That is Kannapolis, where Chris resides. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, Patrick, as always. Thanks for having me on the show. And absolutely, the K-Town that I represent is Kannapolis. Here on straddling the border of Cabarrus and Rowan County, been my hometown, and you know, happy to be here amidst my people.
You've been to Kinston a time or three before, though.
So absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Well, Before we get into some of the goings-on in the Athletic Association and your superb analysis of, Carolina Preps is about to roll out. I don't want to put your business in the street necessarily, but let's just say there's some new and exciting and revamped things coming to Carolina Preps.
Well, yes, of course. But the fact of the matter is also Carolina Preps hasn't gone anywhere. I just kind of scaled it back, probably way back compared to, you know, where we were 20 years ago. But Carolina Preps is still the same site that I've been, you know, so passionately running for 20 years now, really the 2002, 2003 seasons when it really kicked off. So, we're doing great things. I am trying to kind of push myself back into the deep water, so to speak, to kind of do my best to, you know, to provide that coverage that I think our state deserves and, you know, to put it on par with some other states that are really pro athletics, you know, like South Carolina and Georgia and some of the others. But yeah, I'm really excited to debut some new changes to it here soon. And I think you guys will be happy about it.
Yeah, I think we will as well. All right. So the Big 32 passed the board of directors for the NCHSAA. It'll be the biggest classification of the Count Them Eight classifications. First of all, is eight too many or is it the right number?
Well, you know, Patrick, eight is, I think it may be one or two too many, but that's just personal opinion. I've always thought that given the number of schools that we currently had, I thought that six, maybe seven would have been a magic number, definitely six. I thought five was way too few. Four was just grossly too few.
Ridiculous.
But I let's just take it back to, you know, 2002 when they began the subdivided football playoffs. It takes us really back to where we were. It's like back to the future once again, but with some really good twist and some different rule changes that I think will make this so much better than the old subdivided system. One, I do think that Big 32 is its own dynamic of its own, but I think that it's going to help the smaller schools. And let's just take ourselves outside of the football. I think that other sports, you know, the basketball, the baseball, the wrestling, right, the other sports is where I think you're going to really see the windfall of success from this new realignment.
CarolinaPreps.com, and Chris Hughes from that site is with us here. The Big 32 is kind of what it's self-explanatory. The biggest 32 teams in North Carolina are going to be in this classification, 8A. This seems to me it's going to be more of a Charlotte triad, maybe some triangle schools.
I think it's going to be Charlotte versus Raleigh. That's what I kind of feel that it may be. And you know, you may end up having some teams in the playoffs that maybe wouldn't make the. I don't know. I like the fact that they're going to do a smaller playoff window for this one, but I just feel like it's going to be year in, year out, Charlotte versus Raleigh. But yes, let's look at it what it is now. You know, that's kind of the players that we see typically on a year in, year out basis. But I think that it will allow some other teams to kind of shine. Like, let's go back to 2002. You know, that 2002 through six era when J.H. Rose won the four championships in a row, you know, thankful, you know, a lot in part due to the realignment. I think that this is going to allow some other programs to kind of shine and show what they've got.
You know, and there's really no schools from the East that would wind up in the Big 32. So as you say, it's a Charlotte triangle thing, maybe a triad or two sprinkled in there.
Yes.
You move them to that 8A classification and all things. And then I think, you know, Rose, Conley, South Central, New Bern would fall into the 7A category, as I understand it. And then
yes,
the current 2As in Pitt County with Farmville and North Pitt and Aiden would I don't know where they'd wind up, but it looks like they would stay together. So I think a lot, especially in the East, the conferences and the split conferences are still going to be a thing.
I think they will. And I think it's going to be a lot of what we've got now. I mean, yes, I think it's going to change in regards to the Big 32. But I think a lot of it's going to be more the same. You know, I think we're going to typically have the same conference rivalries and teams typically with some exceptions. I'm sure there's going to be some changes here and there when the realignment committees get together and start putting together the conferencing. But I kind of I know there's been some some conversations among some coaches and some different individuals in the media that I've talked to, and some people like and some people don't like it. But I really think that this is a positive change, and one that I do want to stress. And I've spoken with board members on the different committees and people with the NCHSA and other coaches. You know, this wasn't a hastily made decision. They've been working on this thing for many, many years. And, you know, it went through a lot of processes, a lot of, you know, memos and surveys and so many things that they pushed out to try to get as close to a consensus as they got. And I feel positive that it's going to be good.
One of the problems you had even in the, you had with four classifications and even with the subdivision, there were instances where the biggest school in the classification more than doubled the enrollment at the smallest school in the classification. So there was an equity in that you had a bigger pool from athletes to draw from. This seems to be with this 8 classification would be eliminated. They would be a little more equitable. You'd have schools that are a little more similar in enrollment competing against one another for championships.
I think so. There's always going to be some inequitable situations, regardless of we did 10A. There's always going to be that one team on the fringe, on the bottom end of whatever classification. And, they're going to feel like they're the odd man left out. And, it's just unfortunately, it kind of is what it is. But, that's just a microcosm of life. It's not always easy, but these teams will, they typically find a way to figure it out. But I do think, and, anytime I've ever looked back at mock realignments or looked at ADM numbers across the years, if you take away the far, far right largest schools in the state and the far, far left smallest ones, you're talking about the Ocracokes and the Matamesquites and the Columbias and the Rosmans, you take away the extreme ends on both sides. And I think you end up with about 70 to 75% of your schools that are really within just a few hundred, maybe 500 or 600 students from top to bottom. And that's how the state is. And I think that this new system will kind of allow that to balance out.
Let me ask you this really quickly. I didn't see anything in this that addressed charter schools necessarily. And in that smaller school level, 1A in particular, maybe not so much in football, the sport that you cover so well and love. But, in other things, I've called championships where in baseball and softball and volleyball and other sports, basketball in particular, the charter schools they're always in the championship, it seems. There's a charter school. At least one charter school in every championship game at that low level, it seemed. 1A and 2A. Yes. So I guess what happened? Why wasn't that? Because there was a little bit of murmuring that they might put the charters in their own classification. How is that being addressed, or is it really at all at this point?
To my knowledge, I'm not sure that it is. And I don't know if maybe they're going to come out with a multiplier or some sort of a equation that could potentially move them up. And when it comes to playoff time, I haven't seen that and I haven't heard that. But you're right. Charter schools, you take away football and, they kind of suck the air out of the room of the other traditional public schools in just about every sport, especially your country club, some of your baseball, and even now basketball. I definitely still think that there's some tinkering that our administrators can do to somehow the other level the playing field. I feel like they've done a good job, and you used the term equitable. They've done a good job of trying to create a little bit more of an equal playing field in regards to the realignment. But I do think that somehow, some way, they've got to find a different way to kind of even the balance things out in regards to charter schools, because you're right. They are playing by a little bit of a different set of rules than, your Farmville Centrals or your Kinstons or your, Connolly high schools out there. They got a little bit of a different set of rules, and it shows come championship time.
Chris Hughes, Carolina Preps, joins us. The other big thing out of the board meeting this week was the decision to keep the basketball format that they did this year, kind of a Final Four format with the semifinals and then state finals all at one location. It's created a week-long celebration of basketball at the Joel Coliseum in Winston-Salem, which I think is probably as close to the perfect location as you can get. Maybe Chapel Hill, but I think somewhere in the triad is probably the more centralized location. And the Joel Coliseum's got a nice complex to house things. So, again, I know football's the big deal and your big driver, but as you talked to ADs, was everybody pretty satisfied with how – because you know this as well as anybody, Chris. They were having problems in recent years with the regionals because they were playing them at high school gyms and not necessarily at big high school gyms, so people were missing the games.
Yeah, now that turned out to be a disaster. That was not a good situation whatsoever. I love this, Final Four concept that they've adopted. I think that it went really well. I agree with you that Joel Coliseum in Winston-Salem is sort of in the central and a really good location. I don't think it's the best. I really think that Titletown itself, you think of the best tournament city in the state when it comes to basketball is Greensboro. You think of the ACC and the NCAA. I think Greensboro would be the best situation because, you're at the confluence of 85, 40. You've got all these interstates to run right through it. It's centrally located in the state. I think it would be the best. But Winston-Salem's only 25, 30 miles, a little bit further west. I don't think that's a bad situation either.
Chris, with football, do we have any ideas or any indication how they're going to do that? We're going back to four sites. Are they going to try to play three games in one day in a Friday night game at State and Carolina? What would you suggest they do? Let me hear it.
I have not heard what they're going to do, but if you're going to have eight championships, I just don't see how you're going to put them all at one site and do it very well. And now, one thing that could take place, and this is what I've read, is that the 1A and the 8A could potentially have different weeks in regards to the classifications. It could be smaller brackets. I think 1A, maybe a 16-team bracket, whereas 8A is a 24. So, that bracketing and how they work that out could potentially give those two brackets maybe their own week. And having, the 8A, the big championship at its own site by itself, I think would not be a bad thing. But in regards to having all eight, if they do fall on the same weekend, whether it's the first or second weekend of December, I think that you're going to have them in two different locations. I think that it's probably status quo and thinking that, the players that be now, the Keenan Stadium, the Carter-Finley Stadium, Wake Forest would probably, and I'm sorry, I got some noise out here. My office is right next to the railroad track. So I think that you'll probably have the same players in regards to stadiums that host it. But I still like the idea, and I've said this publicly many a times, that for your 1A and maybe even your 2A championships now, with 1A and 2A being the smallest of the small schools, why not play them in a little bit more of an intimate place? Give it their own little vibe. We're talking like maybe a North Carolina A&T or an Elon or something like that. Makes it a unique place for those classifications.
And they're the perfect size venues for something like that.
You and I have called NCAA football at Elon, and that's a tremendous stadium to hold a championship game.
No, it's a really nice place. You're right about that. Hey, Chris, it's always great to talk to you. Before we go, really quick, is there anything else that we need to maybe have an eye on or be thinking about as we go out of one academic year into the next academic year? Just an overriding issue.
No, I don't really think so. I do like, at least for the time being, the trajectory and where football and where sports in general is going. I'm still a little bit wary and just kind of that lingering cloud of NIL. Is it going to creep into the public high school ranks, or are you going to start seeing, more and more players, try to profit? And I'm not against, the collegiate side, but I just don't necessarily think that it belongs in high school. And that's probably the way out there thing that I'm worried about the most.
It's wild in college, man. It really, it's out of control. Hey, Chris, good to talk to you. Have a great summer, and I'm sure we'll catch up really soon.
I know we will. Thanks, P-Man, for having me. It's always a pleasure to be on your show, and we'll catch you soon.
The awesome Chris Hughes, the guru from CarolinaPreps.com. We're taking a timeout. We'll come back with Shane Winkler. But before we do, here's Dom Kasulke.
Thank you, Patrick. Number 5, ECU baseball is set to host South Florida starting tonight at 6 at Clark LeClaire Stadium. The Pirates have been working through exams and several injuries to its pitching staff. Head coach Cliff Godwin updating the status of reliever Jake Hunter.
unfortunately, Jake, he won't pitch anymore this year, so he's going to be reevaluated, but he will not pitch anymore this year.
As for the availability of Saturday starting pitcher Zach Root and the nation's ERA leader Wyatt Lunsford-Shankman, Coach Goblin says this.
Shank and Root are getting better. Not sure if they'll be available this weekend, but they'll definitely be pitching again at some point in time this season.
First pitch is set for 6:05 with a 5:45 airtime on 94.3 The Game and the IBX Media app with Scooter Rogers and Coach O on the call. The East Carolina softball team is set to conclude its regular season slate this weekend when the Pirates welcome UAB to Max R. Joyner Family Stadium for a three-game series. First pitch for Friday's game will be at 5 o'clock. Saturday and Sunday's game will start at 2 p.m. and noon, respectively, on ESPN+, with our own Patrick Johnson on the call for both of those contests. Prior to the start of the Sunday's contest, the Pirates will recognize their four seniors in Addie Boas, J.C. Chamberlain, Peyton Hudson, and Taylor Woodring. Division rivals are getting ready to square off in the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. The Carolina Hurricanes are restricting ticket sales for their home games against the New York Rangers to fans from North Carolina, South Carolina, and select parts of Virginia. As of Thursday, there were no ticket restrictions for Madison Square Garden. Carolina will host New York for games 3 and 4 as well as 6 if necessary, and that series will begin on Sunday. More NBA playoffs tonight with the Cleveland Cavaliers traveling to Orlando to face the Magic in a crucial Game 6. Cavs lead the series 3-2, but the home team has come out victorious in each game. That'll be it. For your sports update, Pratic will be right back with the ECU softball head coach Shane Winkler on 94.3 The Game.
And now, the stunning conclusion of the show. It's the P-Man here on 94.3 The Game.
East Carolina softball wrapping up the regular season this weekend, and they'll get the chance to do so at home as they take on UAB, a team they currently sit ahead of in the standings, and ECU trying to improve where they're going to be seated in next weekend's and next week's AAC tournament. Shane Winkler is the third-year softball coach for the Pirates, joining us here on the Patrick Johnson show this afternoon. Shane, great to talk to you, and congratulations on the sweep last weekend. Finals are behind you, and you guys are ready for a key time of the year in the sport.
Yeah, Patrick, I appreciate you having me. I mean, we're excited about a big weekend ahead. You know, we feel like we're playing really our best ball of the season, which the cliche is you want to be doing so at the end of the year. We've been able to put it together and continue to grow as a team. And again, obviously, everyone knows we've got a lot of new faces from the previous 2 years that we were able to bring in this year. And we've gelled at the right time. So we're excited heading into a senior weekend, wrap up the regular season. But again, just continuing to try to play our best ball.
Coach, what specifically is your team doing better than maybe they were when they started conference play?
Yeah, we've been, since the start of conference play, we've been more consistent in the circle, less free passes to where our pitchers are keeping us in games. We've gotten really Taylor Apple and Addie Bullis have seen a bulk of our innings. They've done an outstanding job limiting big innings, getting us off to better starts, and that's been key. When we were struggling early in conference play, we'd dig ourselves a hole and then have to try to fight back. But we've gotten little better starts from them at the beginning of games. And like I said, just keeping us close. And offensively, just really molded into what hitters we should try to be during games and what our approach is, and really sticking to plans that we've been putting in for each series for the opposing pitchers. But we've had some big names stick out throughout the year that have done some big things, but really it's been some complimentary kids over the past few weeks that have gotten some big hits, some key bunts and key moments that have propelled us. But again, we're gonna need to be strong 1-9 for a big weekend ahead. But everything sets us up for the tourney next week.
I know you are happy with the fact that you have, heading into the weekend, doubled your home run production from a year ago.
Yeah, we've talked about it plenty. That was bringing in kids that can drive the ball all over the field, the extra base hits, leave the park at times, was a big deal this summer with some transfers that we brought in. They've definitely done that. And it gives us so many more ways that we can score. I mean, we had to in the past, try whatever we can to scratch 1, 2, 3 runs a game. Now we're looking to have big innings, and that's been the big difference. We have that potential to score with one swing of the bat, whether 1 or 2 outs, we can continue to be offensive. But I mean, we've got the ability to score runs with nobody on base now, which we haven't had in the past.
Morgan Johnson, the Clemson transfer, has hit a real hot streak for you, and this followed kind of a really candid talk you had with her for the second time this season.
Yeah, and it's, again, she's been one that didn't see a ton of time at Clemson, had some moments early in her career, went through injuries. So this is the first time in her career that she's had real sustained playing time. And so it's the first time that she's been through a roller coaster 50-plus game season. So she's had some ups and downs. But, I mean, she's the type of hitter that when she gets hot, she can carry an entire offense. And she's done that for us at times. But we know that potential is there. We brought her in because that potential was there. And she's really in a good place. She's been putting in some extra work this past week to be ready for this weekend. She's looking good at the plate, and we've got some others that are getting healthier, like in Emma Jackson, who really had a good week last week. Again, getting healthier and healthier as we finish up the season. So we've got some pieces that can put together some big moments for us to round this thing out.
Emma Jackson is one of those ACC transfers as well, Shane, and Jackson has had a really good series of weeks and games at the plate. 19 RBI, 19 games coming into the weekend. And as you look at what a difference she has been this year, and she's batted in different spots in the top of the lineup and has been productive.
Yeah, she's a table setter. I like her at the one hole. She does a great job of starting games off for us. We got the ability to get an extra base hit from the very first pitch of the game. But she's really dangerous when the bottom of our lineup, our slappers, are getting on base ahead of her. Because we're able to move an Emma Jackson, a Morgan Johnson up to like a 1-2 in the lineup instead of 3-4. So they're getting more opportunities. So if we're productive and getting on base throughout the lineup, those two drive runs in for us consistently. We're going to be relying on them. But again, if you're going to make a championship run, you're going to need some, like I said, some complimentary pieces, being able to step up and get a big hit. And we've been fortunate to do that recently. Logan Sutton had her best weekend of the season, her best week of the season this past week. So we've got some other names that are stepping up in big moments that we're going to have to rely on.
ECU head softball coach Shane Winkler joins us. The Pirates hosting UAB this weekend, a game going on currently. If you're joining us at Johnson Stadium, we talked with Coach Winkler earlier today. And then Saturday at 2, Sunday at noon, and the seniors will be honored on Sunday prior to the game. When you look at UAB, what challenges do they present this weekend?
You know, they do a good job of putting pressure on the defense. They got a pitching staff that changes speeds a lot, will keep us off balance, but their offense, they got a lot of athleticism, a lot of speed. They're going to play small ball really well, but they're going to make us play solid defense throughout the infield. We've struggled with that in certain games, but we put a ton of work in preparation. It was nice not having a midweek game to be able to prepare for UAB. But yeah, they're going to put pressure on us. They're going to run. So we're going to have to make sure that we limit them being able to take 60 bases when we can. But it's going to be a lot of the small ball. But that is a tough, gritty team who's won some big games in conference. But just like us, they're fighting for seeding as well in a big, big weekend to finish things out.
And last week in the final midweek non-conference game, you defeated North Carolina on the road in Chapel Hill. That's the second straight year you've gone up to UNC late in the season and defeated the Tar Heels. How big is that for your program?
Oh, we love it. Obviously, getting a chance to play the P5s and in-state is big. But that's a program that has been having a really big year with their new coaching staff. And then, I mean, really, we'll say it for our listeners, it's nice because they're not a team that wants to play us home and home like Duke and NC State does. So they make us go there consistently. So it's really nice going to their home turf and taking care of business there. But we played a an outstanding game. Got a big home run from Morgan Johnson, Emma Sutton, or Logan Sutton also hit a home run there. So we played an outstanding game. But like I said, when doing that on their home field is a big deal. And helps recruiting with, because we're looking at the same kids and we're able to say, hey, we're able to knock off a big in-state ACC team, but that's exciting for our program.
And Shane, last thing here, the four seniors you'll be honoring this Sunday, and sure. they were part of what has been a transition in kind of the culture that you're trying to establish in this program, and they stuck it out.
Yeah, Taylor Woodring's one that was here when we got the job, and she's with the way we've been able to develop some of our players that have been here, she has stepped up a great deal this year. So she's one that was already here, but then we brought in three chance transfers. Addie Bullis obviously has seen significant time in the circle. J.C. Chamberlain, one of those complimentary players that has had some big hits, had some big moments last week at Memphis. And then Peyton Hudson's kind of an ultra utility kid for us. Had some big moments running bases last week, has seen some time in the circle. So we've got four that have been big-time culture kids that have been a big part of transitioning our program, getting us back to where we can play winning softball. So we're proud of them, but our goal now for our seniors is try to extend this thing as long as we can for them.
Hey, Shane, best of luck this weekend. Looking forward to seeing you on Saturday.
Awesome. Appreciate it, Patrick.
Thank you, Shane. Appreciate it. Hey, thanks to Shane Winkler. Thanks to Chris Hughes. Great job by Dom Kosolke. Have a great weekend, everybody. Mike Houston and Cliff Godwin on Monday. Pirate Baseball is next.